In the beginning, there was nothing. Only emptiness and darkness. The darkness filled the skies and covered the water. Yet, in the midst of the darkness, there was God. He was waiting quietly, patiently, for just the right moment to begin what he had planned all along. And when the time was just right, he spoke. His voice echoed to the farthest corners of the darkness and filled it with the warm glow of the first light. He saw that the light was good, so he kept it apart from the darkness. So the night passed when the morning came, marking the first day, but there was more to come. From ground and sky to the forests and streams, he placed the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. He brought to life all of the animals. God created everything we see and everything we feel. The architect was creating a masterpiece. And looking over his work at the end of each day, he was delighted because everything he made was good. But he wasn't finished yet, because the grandest part of God's plan was his desire to share his creation with those that he loved and who could love him in return. So in his very own image, he created us. In giving us his very breath, he welcomed us into a perfect life and love to share with him forever. Then God saw all that he created, and it was good.
Out the wonder of light, and as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature in silence follow the sound of your voice. Oh, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every pain, sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. silver light. The stars were made to worship silver light.
God's plan had unfolded perfectly, just as he envisioned it. Sharing his creation with people filled his heart with love, and they loved him in return. Everything in the new world was perfect, for a while. But over time, something happened. Something came between us and our Creator. We began to turn our backs and go our own way, and a distance formed between the Creator and his most beloved creation. The light that God had placed in his creation grew dim and gave way to darkness. Creation was unraveling, and the Creator's heart was broken. His children were lost and had forgotten the truth. But even when it seemed like there was no hope, that the darkness was too great and the story had reached its bitter end, there was a plan, a promise of one who was to come. The darkness would not remain forever. A new light was on the horizon.
Forgotten faith, our eyes. lines written in stars, shining across these ancient skies. Oh, come, Emmanuel, light up the darkness.
In the very beginning of the Bible, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It sounds simple. I promise you, it is not. Light is one of the most basic elements of the universe, and yet the greatest minds of humanity have yet to figure out exactly what it is. It has the properties of both a wave and a particle. Because it's a wave, like sound, it can sing. Because it's a particle, it literally has a place in space. Turns out, "Let there be light" is more mysterious than first meets the eye. This we do know. Light is fast, like really fast, as in 186,000 miles per second. To put that in perspective, light can travel around the globe 7 times in a second. 1001. And most of our light comes from the sun, this raging ball of fire, 100 times the diameter of our planet, burning at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and every second produces the equivalent energy of 1 billion nuclear bombs. And all of this was created with one sentence from the mouth of God. And yet our sun is an infinitesimally small fraction of what that phrase actually created. Our sun, the center of our solar system, is but one of the suns in a much larger galaxy. If you were to map the Milky Way on a canvas the size of the North American continent, our little solar system would be a cul-de-sac the size of a quarter. And our sun is just one star of billions in the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is but one galaxy in billions of galaxies of the universe, all created with one sentence, let there be light. So when the Bible says, let there be light, it really means something. The ancient prophet Micah said, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. There is no veil of darkness too thick for God to penetrate. The promise of Scripture is that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that would work if God were here instead of there in some distant galaxy. Well, my friend, that is the message of Christmas. That is the glimmer of hope that shines across the dark night of the soul. God is light. And the gospel declares that those living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that light has dawned precisely because light itself has made an appearance on our planet. And that light testified about himself, I am the light of the world. No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The very God who said, let there be light to create this world, became the light of this world. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And all of this is captured at Christmas in a single word, Emmanuel.
There is a the light of the world.
faraway star piercing through the darkness, God continued his passionate pursuit of his creation. His fierce love never tamed, his determination never swayed. He never forgot those who were so near to his heart. On the darkest of nights, the brightest of stars tore through the heavens to announce that the Creator was once again among his creation, just as it had been in the beginning. To a group of startled shepherds, his angels proclaimed this good news of greatest joy, that the Savior and Rescuer of all, God's own Son, had been born that very night. His light would guide all those who would follow. It would shine again to illuminate the darkness, and the darkness would never overcome it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. It was the day that changed everything. Jesus, the Messiah, had come.
All, let's stand to our feet and celebrate that together today. And that Jesus has come to bring joy into our world. Let's sing it out. Join it with us. Come on.
Rise, join the triumph of the skies. We've been challenged. How's everyone doing so far? So good. You can go ahead and have a seat. What a special time of year Christmas is. The opportunity that it affords friends and family to come together, not just to celebrate, but to remember the birth of the King of Kings. You know, when I think about the joy, the peace, and the life that Christ came to bring us all, can't help but think about that holy night, that silent night when Christ was born. If you know it, sing it right where you are.
Silent night, holy night, all in been so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Oh, silent night, holy night, share.
I would love to read you the Christmas story straight from Luke chapter 2. It says this: at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. So all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And think about this. Mary's likely almost 9 months pregnant. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. She likely rode on a donkey. I mean, could you imagine riding a donkey almost 9 months pregnant, 90 miles? I mean, you know what's going to happen next, right? Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will be great joy to how many people?" All people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace, peace, peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. That is the story of Christmas. But what I want to remind you of this Christmas, the big idea I want you to think about is this. The story of Christmas is only designed to be the beginning. It's episode one. And God always intended for that story to continue in your life and in mine. And you might be thinking, what do you mean the story continue? Like, what are you talking about? What I mean is, think about it this way. In our modern day terms, when you've been watching a Netflix episode or something on Hulu or Amazon or Disney Plus, when you start a series and you watch one episode, when you get to the end of the first episode, if it captured you and you loved it and you were like, man, it left you on a cliffhanger, what did you do? What did we all do? We pressed that little button in the right-hand corner that said, play next episode. Didn't you do that? The streaming companies know we want the story to continue so much. You know what now they do? We don't have to press a button. It just automatically plays in a few seconds. That is, unless you've been watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, right? Anybody else watching this? It is the most watched show of 2019, over 100 million viewers. And yet, what do you know? You know that when you get to the end of one episode, Disney Plus has decided to drive us crazy and not release another episode until a week later. So a lot of you kids out there, you go crazy because it takes you a whole week to watch little baby Yoda again, right? But almost every other episode, almost every other show that we watch, what happens? I mean, for example, Stranger Things, which by the way was the second most watched show of all of 2019. But if you watch this show or any other episodes or shows like it, when you got to the end of an episode and it captured you, you wanted this story to continue, what did we do? So oftentimes, instead of being responsible adults and just going to bed after watching one episode, you said those famous last words. You looked up at your spouse or significant other, yourself, and you said, let's just watch one more episode. And that one episode turned into two, three, four. Some of you stayed up all night long binge watching a series. And kids, you're not off the hook because I've seen some of you on YouTube for kids go 4 hours straight, right? What's my point? It's simply this. What do we know about ourselves? We want the story to continue. We demand that the story continue. That's why we keep pressing play next episode. And yet, when it comes to God, when it comes to specifically the local church, what do we oftentimes take a different posture, don't we? I mean, so many times God starts to do something in our lives. He starts to write a good story. I mean, this thing's really, even today in this service, you know what some of you felt? You felt God begin to move in your life. And what do we so often do though? We don't press play next episode. We come to one Christmas service, we come to one service, and then we just leave, we walk away from God. You might say, what do you mean? Like, how would I actually play next episode with the story God wants to write? Like, if God started doing something, what would I do? Well, for one, you have to commit to and become involved in a local church. You have to. Because when Jesus left this earth, he only left one vehicle to spread his name and for you to experience Jesus fully, and that was the local church. It's the hope of the world. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, no, Pastor Boy. I don't do church. I've tried church and it doesn't work. Or I don't do religion. Religion's not really for me. I'm only here in this Christmas service right now because if I don't show up, somebody gets mad, right? If I don't come to the Christmas service, I don't get to go to the Christmas dinner later on. Hey, I might get written out of the will, so that's why I'm here, all right? I don't know why you're here. I'm so glad you're here. But I want you to hear something from me. As the pastor of this place, I'm not into religion either. You might say, whoa. Yeah, religion is oftentimes a bunch of rules. You think Jesus sent his own son to this earth to die for you just to give you a bunch of rules? No. What you'll hear around here is Jesus came, and we're here to make sure you get introduced to a relationship with Jesus, an adventure with him. That's what he wants for you. The best story yet. Not a bunch of rules. And so if you come to CCV, listen, you're not going to get a bunch of rules. You're going to find real people all the time opening God's word, getting into scripture, pressing play next episode on the story God wants to write in our lives. So yeah, maybe you've tried church in the past. I wonder if you've tried a church like CCV. So here's my challenge for you in 2020. Would you press play next episode? Would you commit to not letting this service be the only episode, or this service and Easter, or this service, Easter, and a couple other services a year? Would you let the story continue? And you know why some of you may doubt that you want to, or you even will? Because you wonder, based on your past and how rough it's been and some of the mistakes you've made, you wonder if God still has a good story for your future. I was having lunch with a young man just this past week, and he's had a really rough year, a couple years actually. He's made mistakes with women, he told me. He said with drugs. He's gone down a bunch of paths he knew were not right, and then he's made a bunch of mistakes. And in the midst of our conversation, he basically said, "Ashley, with all the mistakes I've made in my past, I'm not sure God can still have a good future for me." And I got so choked up when he told me that, because I want to tell you the same thing I told him. Do you think God, even when you have a rough patch, intends for you to be stuck? I mean, when you watch an episode on Netflix and the main character has a bad episode, do you flip it off and go, "It's done"? I mean, when you're watching a football game, if you watch the Fiesta Bowl coming up in a couple days and Clemson's down in the third quarter, are you gonna shut it off? No, because you know Dabo Swinney, you know what he's gonna do. You know sometimes someone's greatest setback can be their greatest setup for their best story, their best result yet. So why would you let the story stop in your life just because you've had a rough year or a rough few years or a rough life? If you're not dead, God's not done with you, okay? So listen, here's what I want to tell you this Christmas. Here's what I want to challenge you with this Christmas. Would you get involved in a local church? And if you're visiting from out of town, I hope you go back to your city where you live and get involved in a local church. But if you're here in Phoenix, let me tell you what you're going to experience at CCV. A few things. Number one, you're going to experience real community. Real people coming alongside you to help you live your best life yet. But it takes living with other people because there's no solo Christians. And if you're single out there, listen, you can try to find Mr. and Mrs. right in a bar. I think you're more likely to find them in a local church. How's that? Number two, here's what you're gonna find at CCV, all right? You're gonna find hope for a marriage or a relationship that needs it. I've been married almost 20 years. I say this very openly when I preach. Marriage is hard. My wife would say that as well. And I do not know how a marriage works unless you put Jesus right at the center of it. That's what you're gonna find at CCV. Hey, here's the third thing you're gonna find here. You're gonna find help for your kids and students. Listen, I've got three kids. One of my greatest passions is we would, as a church, would have one of the best student ministries and kids ministry in the country. I want that because I believe in the next generation. And I know what you parents want. You want the best for your kids. You cannot give your kids the best unless you give them Jesus. Would you let us help you with that this next year? We promise we will. Here's number four. I think you'll find peace and purpose in life. You know, so many times we chase peace in so many other things, and you're gonna find at some point, if you haven't found already, that you can't find peace outside of Jesus. That's why he came, to give you peace and purpose. Here's the fifth thing you're gonna find. You're gonna find a church that's about more than us. We don't wanna be a church that's inward focused. We wanna be a church that's outward focused, impacting our city and communities for Jesus. And to that end, we keep launching more services. We keep launching more campuses. As a matter of fact, right now on Christmas Eve, tonight, we launched our 10th campus in Verado. Can we welcome our Verado campus right now? We welcome you guys. But if you've been with us in December, here's what we did as a church. We launched an initiative called More Than Us. And here's what we said. We're gonna take up an offering this Christmas, and 100% of what we collect in this offering will 100% be given away to other local churches around each of our 10 campuses we've been working with for the last 6 months. And here's what we believe about these churches. They preach Jesus. They have high growth potential but limited resources. And we think if we help them out, they're gonna grow. So every single dollar that we said we collect as a part of this offering, we're not gonna keep a dime. We're gonna give every bit of it away to local churches around each of our campuses. And CCV, are you ready to hear what you are giving to change our city during this More Than Us initiative? You ready to see the number? Here's what you gave this Christmas. To date, you've given $3,434,876. Can we celebrate that? CCV, you never cease to amaze me. You are such a generous church. And if you're visiting, you're thinking, that's a huge number. But listen to me. We will not keep one penny of that. Every dollar will go to helping other churches around us because we want to be a church that's about more than us. We want to be about the Big C church winning and growing, not just our church growing. That's the kind of church we want to be. But can I get really personal with you this Christmas? What is it going to take in 2020 for God to write a better story with your life? I think it's going to take you pressing play next episode. And to help you with that, when you walked in today, you should have received a card like this. If you didn't get one, we'll get you one on the way out. On the back are two questions I want to challenge you to answer before tomorrow on Christmas Day. If you're here by yourself, you can answer them. If you're with your family, I want you to answer them as a family. Kids, can I get your help? I'm going to ask you to hold your parents accountable to answering these questions. How's that? And I know you kids will do it. Here's the two questions. Number one, my next step to being a part of God's story is what? You need to be a part of God's story in your life. Your next step might be to start attending every weekend between now and Easter, and you just test and see if God doesn't start writing a better story with your life. If you already attend CCV or another local church, I want to challenge you to get more involved. Maybe you need to start serving or giving or getting a part of a small group and get in community. Maybe you need to finally take that step to get baptized. I think every person here has a next step. But here's a second question I want you to answer. My next step to share God's story with others is, how are you going to start sharing your story with others? You know, in 2020, I hope you start inviting people with you to come with you to church, because when we watch a great Netflix episode or a great movie, what do? We tell everyone about it. And yet somehow we fail to tell people about the story that God's writing in our lives. And I hope this next year that you'll invite like never before so we can continue to see our city changed. But I think some of you still doubt if God can still do a great thing in your life and next year. And so here's what I want to do. We're going to sing one last song. And I'm going to ask those of you that have been attending our church this last year in 2019, if God has done a great work in your life, if he started to write a good story, maybe in your marriage or with a child or maybe with peace, maybe some of you, you're starting to really get over some of that anxiety you've struggled with. Maybe you got baptized this past year at CCV. Maybe you started coming back to church for the first time. I don't know what it is, but if you would say God has begun to transform my life, to write a better story in my life, during this next song, I wanna ask you to pull out your phone, you can do it right now, and turn on the flashlight on your phone and just hold it up for everyone to see. And if you're here today and you wonder if God could light up your life in 2020, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. During this next song, would you just glance around at the lights on your campus? And as you do that, I pray that God whispers in your ear, that's what I can do in your life. I can light it up. But you have to press play next episode. You have to let the story continue. And I'm gonna pray that's exactly what you do.
Sing this out with us.
Away in a manger, no crib or a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the baby.
It's been a privilege for us to be able to celebrate the birth of Christ with you this year at our Christmas service. And I just pray that at some point during our service, you were reminded that this story of Christmas is not just a story, but it's the story that God designed for us to build our lives upon. And no matter what your next step towards Jesus looks like in the coming year, I hope you know that our heart as a church is to be able to come alongside you and encourage you in your journey of faith. As you leave service here in just a few moments, there's one more way you can celebrate that story this year. It's by celebrating communion. The ultimate reason, of course, Jesus came to this earth was eventually to go to the cross for us. Those communion stations are set up in Building 4000. That's the building just on the east side of our outdoor grill and pavilion area. So I encourage you to take advantage of that as you leave, either by yourself or with those that you came with. On behalf of our family here at CCV, we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas this year. And as we close out our service, let's do this. I want to invite you all to stand together. Let's sing that last chorus all together one more time, making it our prayer for the year to come.
And I worship you, Jesus, for all of my days. The highest of praises be unto your name, my God and my Savior, my King and my friend. Yours is the glory forever, amen. Sing yours. Yours is the glory forever, amen. Yours is the glory forever, amen.
Well, from all of us to you, have a great night and a very Merry Christmas.